Matthew 22, verse 33. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The great commandment's what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. And my text is verse 38. This is the first and great commandment. We see we've got a lawyer's question here, tempting him and saying. Lawyers are masters of words. That's what they do for a living. They're good at twisting words. And this lawyer had the opinion that he could trick Jesus, tie him up. That doesn't sound too much different than lawyers today to me. Truth doesn't always seem to be too important with attorneys. For how could you defend somebody that you know to be guilty without lying? At least I think that's the way they feel. I had one come in my office recently there at the courthouse, and he was joking about lawyers lying. And he said that a carload of lawyers, station wagon, four or five lawyers in it, was going to a conference and they failed to negotiate a curb. And they went off down in the bushes and wrapped around a tree, I think, and it wasn't easily seen from the road. But a couple hours later, I saw a state police come along and seen where the road was scuffed a little bit. He investigated it. And he found the car was banged up and mangled down there, but he didn't find the driver, nobody in it. They said he seen a farmer over in the field and went and asked him if he knew anything about that accident that happened over there. He said, oh, it was a bunch of lawyers and had a wreck there. I buried them. And the police said, well, was they all dead? He said, yeah, oh, yeah, they was dead. Said, a couple of them said they wasn't, but you know how they lie. But this lawyer asked a question, and we say there's no such thing as a stupid question. And there's not if you ask it to gain knowledge. If you ask it to learn something, that's how we learn, but that wasn't the goal of this lawyer. He wasn't trying to gain knowledge for himself. He couldn't care less what was the greatest commandment. He just wanted to trip up Jesus. Still, he asked a good question, even if he didn't intend for it to be. The Jews had many rules. Remember, God had given them 10. Moses brought 10 rules down the mountain, and he saw them worshiping the golden calf and doing all manner of sin there, and he threw them down and broke them. And then he went back up and got those 10 again. But the Jews weren't satisfied with 10 rules, basically because they didn't want to keep those 10. They looked for ways to wiggle around them. And so I think they basically thought that that's fine for all the poor people, the common man and so forth, but us Pharisees and scribes, we don't need to be bound down by things like that. And so they took those 10 rules and split hairs until they come up with 600 and some rules. And this lawyer's saying, which one's most important? The question was asking in insincerity, but Jesus gives a very sincere answer. What was his answer? Among all those rules, what's really necessary? And love was the answer. Love to God and love to our fellow man. We're to do as we please. We're to live our lives as we please, as long as love is what motivates our heart. We're given one rule here, a rule of love. I know Jesus said the first rule is love to God, and the second is likened to it, love to man. But I believe this is really one rule with two parts. God and man. It can't be separated. The Bible says, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Different people, different groups have put different emphasis on these two parts. Some put their emphasis on loving God. Others put their emphasis on loving man. But it can't be separated, and God requires both of us. First, He asks us to love God. It's hard to love our fellow man properly without first a love for God. I'm aware that there have been those people who haven't had any God in their hearts, and yet they've had a passion for maybe a cure for some dreaded disease, or maybe it's slavery or some other crime on humanity. But this is exception to the rule, not the rule. It generally takes love of God in our hearts. If we look back in our past history, we'll find that our first hospitals, our first colleges were all founded by Christian people because of love. It takes faith in God to properly appreciate mankind. Faith in God causes us to look on everyone as someone that Christ died for, someone who God has placed importance in, a citizen of eternity. You take God out of the picture and man loses value. We become just kind of like the evolutionists tell us we are, a one-celled being that crawled out from under a rock somewhere and evolved a few times. Really not much value to it. And if that's the case, well then, sure, why not kill God's children, the babies and the elderly? Those that are maybe handicapped or really not too much used to society. But I'm glad God's in the picture and God's got things in control. We're to love man. A love to God is an impossibility without a love to our fellow man. The pious Jews of Jesus' day, they put their emphasis on loving God. And yet, then they had contempt for the fellow man. The Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't have a bit of use for the Sadducees and vice versa. But they would join together to gang up on Jesus. But other than that, they had contempt for each other. And both groups had contempt for the poor people, the widows. They robbed them. But Jesus is telling them that you have to love God and you have to love man. I think he told this story in Luke 16 to refute the theory that you could love God without loving man. He told us of a rich man who dressed in the highest fashions of Jerusalem. Said he was clothed in purple and fine linen. And he went to Golden Corral for his meals through the week. And then on Friday and Saturday he went to Black Buggy because he liked seafood there. Well, at least I believe he went to a buffet. Because it said he fared sumptuously every day. I think Jesus is telling us this man spent his time entertaining himself and his fellow rich friends. Those of his own social class, and didn't look around to those that are poorer than him. I think Jesus is telling us that this man came out of his gate one day with his nose so far in the air that he didn't see that beggar land there. He got his toes caught in the beggar's rags and he tripped and fell headlong into hell. Not because he'd been a robber, not because he'd cheated people and got his money falsely, but because a lack of love. He made the mistake of thinking that he could love God without loving man. John tells us, he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And we haven't found anybody that could answer that question yet. Jesus gives us one plain test on discipleship. What is that test? Well, if you're in my group or my denomination, you're one of his disciples. No. It's not denomination or creed. Well, then it must be if you're baptized right. You remember how John done it. He took them down to the River Jordan and he dunked them under and made sure everything was covered and he brought them back up. And so we do it that way. We go to White River instead of Jordan River, but we dunk them under, make sure every hair's under and all, maybe count the bubbles before we bring them back up. But there's groups that do it all wrong. Why, some groups will do it right in church instead of going to the river. Some of them will take a little bit of water and sprinkle it on top of them. Or others, they'll take a pitcher and they'll pour a little on top of them. And you know that's not right, because that wasn't the way John done it, and that's not the way we do it. And so, maybe that's what it is, but I don't think so. I'm afraid it's far more than this. The scripture says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another." Therefore, for us to claim that we love God while we're indifferent, or antagonistic, or hateful, or contrary to, or just to ignore our fellow man, is to make our religion completely worthless. It's to make our religion of no more value than these scribes and Pharisees' religion was. What do we mean by love? What is love to God and man? Love's a word that's been used very loosely in our day in society. It's a word that's used very lightly and very wrongly. Many times today it means a shallow friendship. Maybe lust or maybe puppy love or something of no more value than that. But love's more than a shallow sentiment. It's more than glamour. To love, as Jesus used the word, is something bigger and more beautiful than even our vocabulary would allow us to say. What is it to love God? It's far more than just a fondness. To love God is to obey Him. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." To love God is to enter into a friendship with Him. He said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Friendship has two sides, our side and our friend's side. If God's my friend, that means He takes an interest in my innards. If He's my friend, He's concerned with all my innards. If the Lord stoops down to my innards, then I must rise to His innards if I'm His friend. Is He interested in our church? Yes, He is. Is He interested in other churches? And yes, He is. Is He interested in the people around here that's not in church? Yes, He is. Is He interested in people of all colors? And we know He is. And if He is, if I'm His friend, then I must be interested in those things as well. Because they're His interest, and He's my friend. What is it to love man? It's also more than a sentimental fondness. To love our fellow man does not mean we enjoy everyone's company equally. There may be some that I would rather be with than others. I love all my kids on my bus. But there's some that I like it better when they ride than others. Some deserve love more. Some practice love more. But still, we have to love everybody. To love in the Christian sense is to have goodwill toward all men. It's something that shares the burdens and the heartache and the broken of a broken and hurting world. Paul said, "Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity or love, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal." I think Paul's saying that I might even make a TV preacher, an orator. I might be one of those that says, "Send your money to the Lord and here's my address." Takes in the millions, but it profits me nothing without love. Yet love's in the smallest shack makes a home. With love, even giving of a cup of cold water in Jesus' name will have its reward in heaven. Jesus told us of a widow who gave an offering that was so small and insignificant that others looked down on her. But Jesus called His disciples aside and said, "Look here, look what she's done." Because of love, we're still telling about what that lady did. Paul said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. You may ask, how can we keep this great commandment, the great commandment? Well, I have four simple things that I think we need to do to keep this great commandment. Number one is believe in love. Believe in love. Jesus staked his ministry. He staked everything on his belief in love. On his faith in the final victory of love. He died on the cross because he believed love would win out. Love is stronger than hate. Joseph Stalin founded the Russian Empire on hate. He thought hate was the strongest emotion. But Joseph Stalin is dead and gone, and his government collapsed because love is stronger. Secondly, we need to realize love. Realize love. See it. Notice it. Comprehend it. Realize love. Thirdly, let's express love. Express love. Express it in word, in kind words to our fellow man. Express it also in kind action to our fellow man and to God. Let's express love. Suppose you go out tomorrow and act toward everyone you meet as if you really loved them. What do you think would happen? I believe your love would grow. I believe their love towards you would grow. So let's express love. And lastly, receive love. Receive love. You say the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. It does. So give it. Give love. But also, this is a good thing to receive. So I ask you, lastly, to receive love. You know, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who's knocking? It's love. For God is love. That's all I have this morning. But as you go home and go to your dinners and so forth, you can have me for dinner if you want, as long as your motive is love. Let's think about these things. Let's try to put them in practice. Let's stand. Vaughn, you dismiss us, please.